The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 303, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 1 hour down, two more to go on this Monday morning, which is always fun around these parts. Nothing better than Monday mornings after another Giants loss, after another game with, that's true, the Jets didn't lose today. Jets did not lose yesterday. How about that? They won on Thursday night. And I guess they're still alive. They're going to have to take on Arizona, who just had a very good game earlier yesterday. And they've been an up-and-down team, but they are dangerous. It's not going to be an easy victory against Arizona, but it's an opportunity to go win a football game. It's a winnable football game for the New York Jets, looking to get their fourth win of the season and possibly work their way back into the playoff conversation. The Giants don't have such luck. At 2-7, this season is over, and it is time to pull the quarterback. And again, I know, for all you Daniel Jones supporters, I'm not an idiot. I know. I watched the game. He certainly isn't the reason they lost this football game. He wasn't putrid. He wasn't terrible. He made a critical mistake on a turnover early in the game. And he's just not good enough to uplift this team. Never has been, never will be. And considering his injury clause, it's time to move on because the tough son of a gun doesn't go down. He takes on contact. I appreciate that from him. I do. I respect it from him. But he's finished the season 2 out of the last 3 years on IR, and if that happens again, they're locked into a contract that I want no part of, that they want no part of. It's time to move on. Sell every piece, stop playing the quarterback, and go about losing as many football games as possible. I'm not kidding. This is the most important game of the season by far. So far, this will be a huge game coming up. I am so pumped. I shouldn't say that because that's just a lie. That's just me being hyperbolic and trying to have some fun. But I am looking forward to this game in Germany in hopes that the Giants can find a way to lose to the Panthers and set themselves up for having the miserable season and bottoming out season they desperately need to find themselves towards the top of this draft. Because there's nothing, they gain nothing from winning. Nothing. Nothing. Especially if the coach and GM are going to be here either way, they gain nothing from winning. They won last year. Do you even remember? Like, honestly, Giant fans, I'd love for you to call me up and tell me the big play against the Patriots that you remember that was like, wow, yeah, that was fun. Good thing they beat the Patriots and Bill Belichick his last time against the Giants. Do you remember anything about it? Like, I remember even the game against Green Bay. I mean, I remember DeVito balling out. I remember feeling like, wow, that was a kind of a coming out party. Maybe this kid has something, but I don't remember anything significant of that game. I don't remember anything from it. All I remember now is how it cost the Giants the opportunity to draft two quarterbacks who right now look like, certainly Daniels looks like a star. And what you're seeing from May in New England are special plays, the knack for making the big play and actually making his teammates better, which for all of the good things about Daniel Jones that we've seen at times, making his teammates better has never been one of them, ever. And we have to get into a conversation also with what's going on with neighbors who the handful of games before his concussion was all over the field making a bunch of catches, getting into the end zone. And now since, not much. What do you have to, I know he had a bunch of catches. Let me look at his stats today. He had like 9 catches for 56 yards. What do you have? Nine receptions for 59 yards. That is not very productive. 888-808-1019. Let's take some calls. John in Far Rockaway. What's up, John?
I don't know what's up anymore because this Giants organization is just ridiculous. So while I was on hold, I decided to play a game called Where's Saquon Barkley's Money? And I'm looking, yeah. And I'm playing this game trying to figure it out because I wanted to figure out if we should even let Joe Shane try to pick a quarterback. And as I've played this wonderful game called Where's Saquon Barkley's Money, the rules I'm using are this. If the player is on the bench not really contributing, I'm saying that this is Saquon Barkley's money. Evan Neal is on the bench and not really contributing. That is Saquon Barkley's money. That's, you know, that's $6.5 million. Even though Andrew Thomas is, you know, not out there, Evan Neal should be. Yeah. That's a draft pick of Joe Shane. He should be out there.
Yeah. Evan Neal is not fair. I mean, that's a first round pick. It was a terrible pick, and as much an indictment on Joe Shane as the game of where Saquon Barkley's money, but it's not Saquon's money. Listen. But here's the point, though. Honestly, I understand your point. We don't have to go through it. I get your point. They spent money. Could they have found a way to give money to Saquon Barkley and would it have been better spent than where they put it? You can make that argument. Sure, he's a dynamic player. You saw. The game yesterday, one of the more unique and unbelievable runs and moves I've ever seen than hurtling over someone backwards. He's a remarkable talent. We knew it. But they're 2-7. What are they of Saquon?
Well, no, yeah. The point I'm trying to make is there was more ways that we could have improved the team. Forget just Saquon. We could have signed, for example, Aaron Jones, who's balling out in Minnesota and doing wonderful things for Sam Darnold, who, honestly, I would put on the same level as a Daniel Jones. There's plenty of other things we could have done to improve the team this year. I understand it's a moot point. The point I'm trying to make is the opportunities that this GM has had to make picks and to spend money, he's done it wrong. The first thing he could have done was take the fifth-year option on Jones so that this way he wouldn't have had to sign Jones.
Yeah, that's hindsight.
If he would have played well and we could have signed Saquon and we could have avoided this entire mess in the first place.
That's hindsight being 20-20. If he would have picked up that fifth-year option at the time, it would have been he would have been killed for it. I would have killed him for it. Nobody, and I mean nobody, expected them to pick up that fifth-year option and pay him that kind of money on a year where if he didn't play well, they would have just moved on. Like, yeah, that year happened. That's why I'm talking about how that year hurt them. Like, but, I mean, what if they would have picked up the fifth-year option and he was miserable that year? And they could have been moved, like, you know, that one's tough. Like, I don't disagree with your overall point. I think some of your examples weren't very good. I'm sorry to tell you that. Like, Evan Neal is not his money. Again, Aaron Jones, you're talking about running backs. There's not a running back. I mean, they could have picked up, they could have picked up Henry. They could have picked up any runner. It wouldn't have changed. It wouldn't have changed. I honestly believe they'd be 2-7 no matter who their running back is. That's not the problem with this team. It really isn't. I don't care about their running back. Saquon Barkley could be on this team. They're 2-7. Maybe they're 3-6. So what? What's the difference? They're not winning. They're not winning with Aaron Jones. They're not winning with Derrick Henry. They're not winning with Saquon Barkley. They're not winning. The running back is not what we should be focusing on. I know it sucks watching Saquon Barkley play these great games, right? He had a receiving touchdown, a rushing touchdown. He did fumble, but had one of the more incredible runs you've ever seen hopping over someone backwards. I mean, incredible. We all know the talent that he has. And if he was ever on a good team, what he could have done. I don't hate, I've been screaming about the Saquon Barkley pick since 4 months before they made it. All right. I always hated it. Will always hate it. It was a terrible pick. You can't convince me otherwise. But it's not because I didn't think he'd be a good player or a great player or have unbelievable ability to do this. The Giants weren't good enough to justify the running back. The Eagles are. The Eagles have a good enough roster where the running back makes sense on some level. The Giants would still be losing. The Giants had Saquon Barkley and lost a lot. A lot more than they won. Like it's just, I know it bothers people. I know it's embarrassing. And listen, guys take shots. McCarty on the broadcast with Tiki after that play was like, oh, and Giant fans just have to, what I say, McCourty, right? Yeah, and I said McCourty with Tiki Barber. McCourty said it. Giant fans have to just sit back and watch this, you know, like, yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm in the minority. Giant fans, you let me know, 888-808-1019. Are you watching Saquon Barkley going, oh, if only if he were here at 2-7? If they were 5-4. Right? Or if they were, you know, 4-5, and it was like, man, they really haven't had a running attack, but the defense has played a hell of a lot better. Jones looks good. They've won a lot of close games. Man, if they had Saquon Barkley instead of Philadelphia having Saquon Barkley, maybe this season could be different. If the Giants were winning, I'd be more upset Saquon Barkley isn't here. 2-7, who the hell cares? Saquon Barkley's not the difference between a winning team and 2-7. He's not. You know how I know? Because of last year and 3 years ago and 4 years ago. Like, we've seen it. I don't know why we're so hung up on Saquon Barkley. I really don't. Yes. Could they have spent the money they chose not to give Saquon Barkley better? Absolutely. Could the team be better all around in other areas if they chose not to give money to Saquon Barkley? Sure. Yeah. But giving it to Saquon Barkley wouldn't have changed the outcome of this season. It hasn't ever before. He's not better today than he was with the Giants. He's not more dynamic now than he was with the Giants. It's not like they got rid of him just before he hit his prime and, oh, what a big-time mistake. He was this good last year. He was this good 2 years ago. He was this good his rookie season. He's always been this good. It's never impacted winning for the Giants. Plain and simple. This is not like, oh, Geno Smith finally found himself. Saquon Barkley's always been this great. It hasn't mattered, and it wouldn't have mattered this year. Jesse in Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Chris. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy? Good. How are you?
Good, good. Sorry about your Yanks. But about the Giants, I mean,
yeah,
why does everybody want the Giants to win? We want to lose so we can get a franchise quarterback like Cam Ward or Sanders. Imagine if they didn't go on the Tommy DeVito World Tour last year.
You ain't kidding.
They would have had Drake May, or they could have had Daniels. And imagine the future, the different future path.
Can you imagine?
Would be on right now.
Can you imagine? Honestly, and that's the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. Because Giant fans are like, Chris, you're crazy. We got to win these games. Wins are priceless in the NFL. You got to get as many wins as you can. I don't care. I'm a fan. I root for my team to win. And great. How much better would this franchise be off if Daniels or May were under center right now? Like, how much better would this franchise be set up if they had one of those two quarterbacks in this room? Instead, here we are again, spinning our wheels. Like, it's just, it's maddening. As fun as DeVito was, it's not as fun as watching great quarterback play.
I called in last year and I said, what are they doing? You know, this is stupid. You know, well, what's the point of winning games that are not going to get you to the playoffs? You're just going to miss out on that quarterback you need. It was completely stupid. And you know what it is? The Giants are just all stupid. Mara is stupid. Shane is stupid. Dable is stupid. They're all stupid. You know, real people, like real professionals, that are intelligent, they just call people stupid, and that's it. It's easy. You don't have to, you know, figure out a scientific theorem for what's going on. They're just stupid. That's it. We got to get smart people to run the
Thank you very much. I don't think any of them are stupid, believe it or not. I don't. I don't think John Mara is a stupid man. I don't think that the guy's running. I don't think Brian Daboll is stupid. I don't think Joe Shane is stupid. I think they've made mistakes. I think they've made good decisions. I think they've made bad decisions. And right now, Brian Daboll can't get this offense to function. And I said it at the beginning of the year, like, I'm okay with both things. I'm okay with keeping him, believing in someone, and hoping he can grow, because he did show them a lot in the first year. And we saw him on the sidelines yelling, and at times he's coached this team well. They're better defensively, even than even though this game they weren't very good defensively. They've been better defensively than I thought they would with a new new defensive coordinator in Bowen. Like, I do think he's gotten the most you can get kind of out of Daniel Jones. I mean, like, I don't think he's done a terrible job. I think he's a decent head coach. I think the team isn't very good. And right now, he just can't get this offense working with this quarterback enough to score enough points, get in the end zone enough, and win some games. I would also be okay with firing him because he's an offensive coach who hasn't improved the offense. They're just as bad as they've been. They have less. They score less points per game than any team in the NFL. I got an offensive head coach who took the bull by the horns and ended up taking over play calling and is putting up less points than any team in the NFL. How could I say that guy is safe? How could I say that guy can't be fired? How could I say, hey, you know, it's not his fault? He took over. He's the offensive guy. He took the play calling away from the coordinator who's getting head coaching jobs in the dozens every single offseason. He took the play calling away. He made it his own. And the offense is worse. And the worst in the NFL. Like, I'm not saying it's all on him, and I'm okay with keeping him, but the narrative of, or the conversation of, oh, you can't fire Daboll. Like, why not? What has he done to secure his job here? But if he is safe, get him the young quarterback. There's nothing else to do. Honestly, if they win 6-7 games, I'd rather fire him then. Because now I don't know what we're doing with him. What kind of quarterback are we going to give him? Like, oh, the team rallied. Who gives a damn? I mean, it seems like nowhere else but football do we give, you know, these participation trophies. Like in football, hey, listen, they could have folded. Why are we counting moral victories? Who cares? The season's dead. Who cares what they do after it? Alex Rodriguez hits a home run in the eighth inning of a 6-0 game. Nobody gives him any credit. Same, it's been going on for baseball for years. But the Giants and this head coach will benefit from rallying the troops. Who cares? The season's dead. He was in charge as they went 2-7. I don't care what happens next. Lose, get a young quarterback, and go about doing the one thing he's been proven to do, develop. Because he's not been proven to successfully call plays now that he's been given a chance this year. He's not been proven to, you know, get a team to overachieve except for one season. Like, I want to see if he can do the one thing we hired him for, develop a young quarterback. That's it. Go get him that young quarterback. Stu in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
The Giants are, it's becoming very sad and very sad very quickly. You're right, they didn't draft Daniel Jones. I don't know if you give them a chance to draft a quarterback, because who knows what they're going to do, right?
Well, I mean, and it's specifically what they did successfully in Buffalo, which is why they've been brought here. So, I mean,
yeah. Well, the thing is, would you give them that opportunity to draft a quarterback and see if they can?
Yeah,
develop?
I mean, I think I probably would. Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah, okay. And everybody keeps on talking about Saquon. What did they do except for 1 year with Saquon?
Exactly.
Lose.
Yep.
They had no. They didn't. He was great. He's a great player. But he didn't make a difference in any other season except for 2 years ago. And I don't even think he was the main cause for 2 years ago, because Daniel Jones had a halfway decent season, and they just caught a lot of breaks, and they got to the playoffs and won a road game against Minnesota. But that doesn't make it enough reason to everybody should keep on talking about Saquon. He would make a difference. I don't think he would because the rest of the team around
him. I mean, listen, it's proven that they don't win with him. It's not like, and here's the other thing. Philadelphia, although last year fell apart at the end of the year, Philadelphia won without him. Like, that's the thing. It's not like suddenly it's not like Saquon Barkley was the reason the Giants were winning and Philadelphia was bad and he went there and suddenly things changed. The Giants were losers. The Eagles were winners. He went from a loser to a winner, and guess what happened? The loser continued to lose and the winner has now continued to win. Like, it's not complicated here.
One more point. Yeah. What do we do about Cole?
Make sure he's a Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line with me. I said it last night. Thank you for the call, Stu. And I'll get into it when we come back here, but make sure he's a Yankee. Bottom line. He's too important to this team, and I'll get into it a little bit after the break. At one point, it seemed like it was a no-brainer, and I could understand why to many Yankee fans, recent history would change that thought process. But the fact of the matter is Cole's too important to this team to let him go. And we'll discuss this on the other side. Do you just pick up the option? Do you see what you can do contract-wise? But make no mistake, Gerrit Cole needs to be a Yankee. 888-808-1019. We'll come and do that next as we talk about the Yankees and their ace. We'll get into the Juan Soto sweepstakes as there are reports out there, believe it or not, that the Mets are interested and going to make them a big offer. You could have knocked me over. I saw those reports that Steve Cohen would be interested and Steve Cohen's going to offer big money. I was like, whoa.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Really? I would have never guessed that.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, let's put the lousy Giants behind us just for a minute, but I'll still take your Giant calls as we go through the morning till 5 o'clock at 888-808-1019 as they fall to the Commanders 2-7, and it's time to just stop caring, start losing. It was that time last week, but now it's really that time. But let's get to the New York Yankees, whose fans are probably just as pissed at them right now as Giant fans are at their team. But the New York Yankees, coming off the World Series loss, the most disappointing and disgusting inning of baseball I've ever seen, let alone in the World Series. And now they are at a crossroad, quite honestly, this early in the offseason, as Gerrit Cole opted out of his contract, which he was inclined to do. And I always thought he would up until this year, when I thought maybe he was up in the air whether or not he would. Up until getting hurt at the beginning of this year and having only thrown 90 pitches and at his age, I thought there was a chance he wouldn't opt out, but prior to that, I always knew he would. That's why guys have opt-out clauses in their contracts to use them. And we've always known that the Yankees would have an opportunity to null and void that opt-out by adding another year to the contract, another year at $36 million, which would bring it to 5 years from now, another 5 years, $180 million. And like I said, prior to this season, everything felt like a no-brainer to me. It felt like Cole would opt out, the Yankees would add the year. Easy peasy. But I could understand why a lot of Yankee fans I talk to are feeling a little bit differently now than they probably would have going at this time last year. Cole is now 34 years old. As durable as he's been, and he is the most durable pitcher in baseball still in my mind, he is coming off an elbow injury. We don't know the ramifications of it. At times this year, it felt like they handled him with kid gloves. But again, that's just, it's the same year as the injury. I don't know if he's any more likely to suffer of a Tommy John or any severe elbow injury any more than any other pitcher at any time over the next handful of years. But he is 34 years old. He's coming off the least amount of innings he's thrown in a long time. And you could understand, especially with the money constraints, the idea that if you let him hit free agency at 34, what kind of contract does he get? I do think that's up in the air. I think there's a lot of reasons why you could possibly say, hey, it's best to let him go. You've got the Juan Soto contract and that free agency process. That's going to be crazy, obviously, and you have to spend all this money. The owners talked about limiting payroll. They have money in stars that, obviously, Judge. They have the money for Stanton. They put money into the rotation with Rodon, which seems like a big mistake at the moment. You're trying to sign Juan Soto. They have the lingering contracts to DJ LeMahieu. And they're all trying to stay under $300 million. So there's a lot of Yankee fans who could make the argument of allowing him to go, let alone the depreciating value that is starting pitching. We're seeing how important bullpens are. The Yankees this season had their best rotation and pitched their best from the starting rotation in the early parts of the year before he was even on the team. When they were pitching to the best ERA in baseball, when they had the longest stretch in baseball history of every starting pitcher going at least four innings, the rotation got worse when Cole came back. So there's a lot of extenuating circumstances that might change the opinion of many Yankee fans. But I'm sorry, I don't see it. Everything I said has a hint of truth of it. Everything I said makes sense in many ways. But the bottom line is the New York Yankees are the New York Yankees. And I don't care the level of starting pitching and how important it's become, especially over the 162 and how important bullpens are and everything. We went into this World Series, at least I did, I know Evan Roberts did, a lot of people did, talking about the biggest X factor of the series is that the Yankees have that durable ace who can go deep into games, and we don't know what the Dodgers have. It didn't turn out to be the X factor we expected, although he did pitch very well in the World Series for the most part. You need that ace at the top of the rotation. The Yankees need that guy. If you want to win, you need that guy. You want to sell Juan Soto on winning, you need that guy. The New York Yankees have an ace in Gerrit Cole, who is the most durable pitcher in baseball, who throws the most innings in baseball, who won the Cy Young Award last year, who in his start in the World Series, after having a almost 40-pitch fifth, finish out the sixth and seventh, or almost finished out the seventh, and then on his second-to-last pitch, I believe, of the World Series, after on his 107th pitch, still threw 98 miles an hour. This is a horse. This is a guy you need at the top of the rotation, and the options, if you let him go, are, sure, a lot of money. Probably almost similar amount of money, $36 million, for a slightly younger, a couple years younger, Corbin Burns, who's been very good, but the numbers on him are also coming down a little bit. And I don't know, as much as we've proven he could pitch maybe in this division, a guy who's made his career in the National League Central, coming over to the American League East, pitched fairly well this year into the division, but also, we don't know if he can pitch in New York. I don't know the options. I know what Gerrit Cole can do in a Yankee uniform. I know who he is for this team. He's a leader for this team. He's the man for this team. He's the ace for this team. The New York Yankees need an ace. They cannot afford to not have him on this staff. Now, there's several ways to go about making sure he's on this staff, but I don't care what the outcome is. I don't care how they play it. Bottom line is, he needs to be a Yankee. And if he's not, it's a debacle. Because I honestly don't know if it matters all that much in getting Juan Soto. I got to be honest. Even taking the $36 million off the books, the Yankees still are only going to go so far, and if Steve Cohen won't be denied, Steve Cohen won't be denied. And if every dollar is every dollar and that's all Juan Soto cares about, I can't play that game. I need the ace. I need that guy at the top of the rotation because Carlos Rodon, as the ace of the staff, ain't cutting it. And I don't know what they do in free agency. And if you tell me, oh, they get rid of him to sign Juan Soto, say they do sign Juan Soto. Now they don't have money for the $30 million ace starting pitcher because they better go out and get Corbin Burns. Otherwise, what does this look like? So there's several ways to go about it. The easiest way is to pick up the fifth year. And I ultimately think that's what we're going to hear happens between now and 5 p.m. later today. I do think the Yankees are just going to pick up that fifth year. It's another year at $36 million instead of $144 for the next 4 years. It's $180 for the next five. And honestly, as bad as that contract might be in the fifth year, it doesn't matter. It's about what they're going to get for the next two or three. You have to have him on the team. This is the chance. I mean, as much as I'm frustrated at the two of them, and more so Judge, that they haven't won in the prime of those two players, it still doesn't change the fact that the Yankees have the best hitter in the league and arguably the best starting pitcher in the league, and you have to win during that time period. I don't care about the extra money at the end of the back end of the contract. I don't. To the New York Yankees, they'll have to eat it. But you can't afford to lose this guy. So to me, that's the most likely, the easiest, pick up the fifth year, add it. The second way would be to tell him, hey, we don't think, or at least don't tell this to him, but in their minds, they don't think he's going to get this same number in free agency at 34 years old, coming off the least amount of innings he's thrown in the last 6 or 7 years. And the idea that he had an elbow injury at 34, they don't think he's going to get that much on the free agent market. And they just play this out and try and sign him and end up trying to save money. Or if they have to end up spending more money, it's worth the risk. Let him hit free agency and see where it goes. That's number two. That's my least like favorite. I don't like that because I don't know who steps up and gives him a big contract. Or I don't know how disrespected he'll feel that they let him hit free agency. I don't know. I don't know how it goes. Anything can happen in free agency. Someone can offer him a godly amount of money and all of a sudden, well, now it's $42 million a year. Or someone could offer him more money in a short term and Gerrit Cole might like that, thinking I can hit free agency again because I believe in myself and my arm. And suddenly now it's $45 million, $42 million a year to sign Gerrit Cole to a 3-year deal. And that hurts me signing Juan Soto because now I have more money on the books this year. I don't like letting him free agency. But that's the second way to go about it. And then the third way, which hopefully, in my mind, is the best way for the New York Yankees to go about it, and if Gerrit Cole would be interested, is coming to terms on a new deal that would defer some money. And I know Scott Boras doesn't like to defer money, and there's already talk about the idea that there won't be much at all deferred in the Juan Soto contract. But Gerrit Cole is the ace of the Yankees. Gerrit Cole has been here. Gerrit Cole had the sign, Yankee fan today, tomorrow, always, or whatever it is. Like, he wants to be the Yankee ace. He wants to be the guy. Well, he just let the team down immensely by not covering first base. You want to help the fans forget about that. You want to get back into the good graces. You want to be Mr. Yankee. Then take a deal that ends up giving you technically more money. And I know you could, with deferred money, there isn't always more money. But they could come up with a contract where the dollars are actually more for Gerrit Cole. Some of the money is deferred. And it opens up some space over the next year or two to help them in the short term with a Juan Soto contract. That is what Gerrit Cole could do to help stabilize himself and stamp himself as a Yankee great. The fan base will forgive him and love him for being willing to do that. It helps the Yankees. It theoretically could help him. It is a win-win situation that could make a lot of sense for the New York Yankees. And hopefully that's the kind of thing we hear happens before 5 o'clock. I don't expect it, but that is best case scenario for the Yankees. So three ways. One, the most obvious and what I think will happen, the Yankees pick up the fifth year and we move on. And he's here for the next 5 years making $180 million. Option two, let him go to free agency, see what the numbers are, tell him to get back to them, and see if the Yankees and him can come to a deal in free agency with all teams vying for his services. And then number three, can they find a way to come up with a deal that benefits everybody, allows them to save money on this year's cap, defer some money, pay him a little bit more, lock him up long term, make him a Yankee for the rest of his career, make him the ace of this staff, and go about helping this team the way so many others have, the way Ohtani did, the way Tom Brady did for years, the way, you know, countless guys have figured out a way to manipulate contracts so that they can help the team in the present. That's what I would love to see from the Yankees and Gerrit Cole. But any of those three, the bottom line is they don't have a choice. Gerrit Cole needs to be a Yankee. He's been a great Yankee. He's done everything they've asked of him. He's been a big game pitcher, whether you want to admit it or not or lie to yourself or not. He's been a big game pitcher. He's won a Cy Young. He's the most durable pitcher. I know he missed some time this year, but I mean, over his career, I mean, he's the guy you can count on giving you 200 innings. He throws 98 miles an hour, even deep into games. He's a workhorse. He is your guy. He's your second pitching coach. The rest of the players look up to him. He understands pitching at a level very few do. He needs to be a Yankee. Bottom line. So the Yankees need to get it done. 888-808-1019. Let's take your calls on it. Joe and Merrick. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good morning. How you doing, man?
Good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. Okay, so at one of the earlier segments this week, somebody was saying something about Tino Martinez was like got in trouble for shoved a kid or something like that. He grabbed him by the jersey in training camp, right?
Yeah, he was for 1 year. Yeah, we talked about it because someone said they wanted Tino Martinez to be the hitting coach of the Yankees, and I just referenced. Right. Yeah, he was his first year with the Marlins. He was accused of abuse both verbally and then grabbed a player. I keep saying kid, but grabbed a Major League Baseball player by a shirt or something, but he was fired after 1 year.
Yeah, so we need more of that. He should replace Aaron Boone. I don't know why he's not allowed to discipline guys because of how much money they make. Like everybody,
that's not true.
It seems like that the only person that can get yelled at is Gleyber Torres, and I mean, there's cameras everywhere, so that always gets caught. I mean, like, you can't yell at Aaron Judge. These guys should be doing push-ups or like running laps around the outfield.
Remember Joe Judge? That worked real well for the Giants. They had Joe Judge run laps. That was really a great idea. Joe Judge had the coaching staff run laps. Everybody run laps. It was really great. That's what you want. You want the players the physically assaulted. That's what we need more of. Make Tino Martinez the Yankee manager. Yeah, that would be great. Juan Soto. Hire a manager that is no. And listen, I'm not trying to knock Tino. I'm not trying. I just the story was brought up. That's all. And again, I'm not saying that the young players on that team didn't disrespect him or needed a wake up call to reality. Maybe they did. I don't know. I wasn't there. It's not like charges were pressed. I'm not saying he really hurt anybody, but he had a problem connecting to the younger players of the Florida Marlins, bottom line. But I love Tino Martinez, and I would love him around this team. I'd love him to be part of the hitting coach. I don't know if I'd make him the head hitting coach, but if he wants to be a part of this team and work with young hitters and the Yankees deem it worthy, God bless. But, I mean, I don't understand. It's obnoxious. I'm sorry. It's getting obnoxious at this point how Yankee fans want all these old Yankee greats to be part of the coaching staff. It's obnoxious. It's just dumb, quite frankly. I mean, how many times have we seen great players be bad at coaching, talent evaluating? Like, Jorge Posada needs to be the manager. Paul O'Neill should be the hitting coach. David Cohn should be the pitching coach. Graham Lloyd should be the bullpen coach. I mean, it's absurd. I don't know why we're so. You can't recreate the 98 Yankees by putting them on the coaching staff. It doesn't work that way. And I understand the disciplinary nature of Aaron Boone or lack thereof, and that upsets the Yankee fans. I get it. I find the idea of holding accountable is like the new word, holding people accountable. I don't know what that means exactly. You have to bench everybody, yell at everybody, publicly scold everybody, tell the media they suck and stink. I don't know what you need. I don't know what accountable is necessarily for you. I think it's up for interpretation. Because again, Bob Papa recently put out after the Yankees lost, and he's of this opinion with Aaron Boone, which is a fair opinion. I'm not trying to knock the opinion. But he put out a picture of Tom Coughlin yelling at everybody in training camp. He said, you need to instill, accountability from the beginning. And it's funny you mentioned that we talked about running laps because I said, now show Joe Judge asking everybody to run laps. Or show Brian Dable yelling at everybody at the start of this year. Because it's not just about accountability. The players need to, you need self-accountability. Like, that, you want to talk about those 98 Yankees? Like, this is what I get hung up on. Like, oh, we need more of Tino Martinez. We need more of Jorge Posada. We need more of Paul O'Neill. Paul O'Neill was bashing water coolers no matter who his manager was. Do you think Derek Jeter needed Joe Torre to instill some sort of, you know, desire to win or focus? Do you think if those players were managed under Aaron Boone, they would fall into the same Yankee spell? It's about personal accountability and the team holding themselves accountable. These are grown men making millions of dollars. Yeah, you can yell at them, of course, and I'm sure Boone does. When Glaber got benched, you could see him mouthing to Glaber, "I warned you. I warned you." He didn't warn him publicly. Aaron Boone handles everything in-house. Should he take some of it to the media publicly and say things? Sure, why not? The other way hasn't worked. I'm open to it. But I think it's a little overblown. It's part of the team that needs to be better. They need to be better defensively. They need to be better on the bases. You know what they need more than a manager who yells at them to get those things to happen? They need players who are better at it. They need better defensive players. They need better players on the base paths. Bernie Williams, as fast as he was, wasn't a good base runner. I don't ever remember saying, wow, why isn't Joe Torre making Bernie Williams a better base runner? The guy never stole a base. Joe Torre, when was the last time Joe Torre criticized someone in the media? Joe Torre is known for one thing, really, winning championships, obviously, and two, shielding them from the boss. That's what his great strength was. The only player I can ever remember him, maybe two players, I can ever remember him saying anything about publicly was David Wells, because he felt like David Wells was out of shape and didn't care, and then Kevin Brown when he punched the wall. Other than that, when players struggled, did he ever come out and criticize them? Did he hold A-Rod accountable while A-Rod was struggling? Did he hold players accountable? Did he say anything about Melky Cabrera, or did they just trade him? Maybe Melky Cabrera's not the right guy. That's later on. But there were opportunities to get on players. He didn't. I don't remember Joe Torre criticizing anyone publicly. We didn't care because they were winning. You know why? Because the players held themselves accountable. I'm not voiding Boone of any blame in all of this, but nobody wants to blame the players. Everyone wants to blame Boone for not making the players better. Everyone wants to blame the manager for not instilling some sort of level of focus. It's the World Series. Aaron Judge took his eye off the ball in the World Series. Is that because he didn't think the manager would mind? Is that why it happened? Hey, it's okay. I was joking about it yesterday or the other day. It's like every coach this guy's ever had told him not to take his eye off the ball. His high school coach, his college coach in Fresno, all the minor league coaches, everybody told him you got to follow the ball into the glove. What happened when he came up and met Aaron Boone? Did Aaron Boone say, hey, your eyes here, your eyes there, whatever. Doesn't matter. You can catch it, you can drop it, no big deal. And so that's what happened. It's just Boone needs to be better. This team needs to be more buttoned up. They need to be cleaner in the way they play the game. They need to be better defensively. They need to be better on the base paths. They need to be better with their outfield shifts and their cutoff man and everything else that was in that Dodger report. I'm not saying any of that is false. They need to be better at all of that stuff. But when they're playing in the World Series and they're dropping easy plays and they're not running to first base, it's on the players. It's on the players. 888-808-1009. But that doesn't change the fact that they need these players. And we'll get to Juan Soto as well. But I want to know what you guys think about Cole, because I know there's a lot of Yankee fans who think 34 years old, I got to give him 5 years. I'm paying a 39-year-old starting pitcher $36 million. That doesn't make any sense. That's going to be a terrible contract. And it might be. But they need him desperately now. And again, if you think they should let him go, who replaces him? because I don't know what Corbin Burns would do in the Yankee uniform. I know what Cole will do. And we'll get to Juan Soto and his free agency as well, because it starts Tuesday, right? Or Wednesday. All right, this thing is underway. Free agency is underway in just a couple of days here. And we all know right now what's going to happen between these two teams. I don't subscribe to there being any real outside contender. I don't think the Dodgers are a real threat. I just can't imagine them being able to give another $700 million contract. I don't think Toronto, although they might think themselves to be in it. I don't think San Francisco. I don't think Chicago Cubs. I don't think these teams are legitimate. I think this comes down to two teams. And for the first time, I know we kind of had the Yamamoto race last year, and obviously the Dodgers ended up winning, and it was the first time that they went after the same player, the Yankees and Mets. This one's different. This player was a Yankee, and this is going to be the two of them going back and forth to try and retain not someone who we thought could pitch and who was great in Japan. This is a Hall of Fame player. This is a guy who hit the home run that sent the Yankees to their first World Series in 15 years. This is one of the great young players and probably the greatest free agent to ever hit the market. And these two teams are going to be battling over him, and it starts on Wednesday. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Let's take Wayne in Montauk. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right, how are you? My question is, you know, I'm thinking about it. If the Yankees sign Soto, you know, how are they going to get better? I don't think, you know, if they sign Soto, I don't see them spending any more money. I don't think they're going to have a better team than they had last season.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Now, it depends. Like, if they sign, right, this year Juan Soto made about $30 million. So even if he makes the $50 million, it's $20 million more. They do have Gleyber Torres was making 17. He's coming off the books. The final year, they're going to save $11 million on Anthony Rizzo. So theoretically, even if they sign Juan Soto, they still have money to spend to get back to the same payroll that they had this year. Not a lot, not much, but they do still have some money to spend, and we'll see how they spend it. But I agree with you. I would think that's the biggest. I mean, I don't know if they sign another prime-time free agent. I don't know. Like, if they get him, they're not going to go get Santander. They're not going to go get Corbin Burns. They're not going to go get probably even Christian Walker for first base. They're not going to get they're going to make smaller moves. They're going to trust in their youth. You're hoping that, you know, Wells can be the catcher he was for the second half the entire year. Jason Dominguez can be your center fielder. Jazz can move over to second, and maybe you get a third baseman or a first baseman. But you're right. I mean, they're not going to go out and make a ton of moves if they have to give Juan Soto $50 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd be better off. Like, I mean, if they can, maybe bring Bergman in for, you know, third base. You know, sign a first baseman like Walker. I mean, I think they'd actually have a better team if they didn't sign Soto.
Yeah, he's just too good. He's 26 years old. He's one of the great. I mean, too good.
I mean, I agree with you, but, you know, I mean, I think that if they sign Soto, they're going to go with, you know, maybe, I mean, are they going to have Ben Rice at first base? What are they going to do at first
base? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think they could sign either. My guess would be they get him, and they do either a first baseman or a third baseman. Not both. Okay. That would be my guess. They either do a first baseman or a third baseman. And thank you for the call, Wayne. And maybe a relief pitcher. Not a high price one. I don't think Tanner Scott, but because they have Weaver now as the closer, and they picked up his option for cheap. And maybe, I mean, I feel like they think that their starting rotation's pretty good, or at least in good standing right now, with hopefully Luis Gil coming off this year, having a full season this year of having a year in innings underneath his belt. Same thing for Clark Schmidt. And Cole being back obviously would be key. But you're right. It's like someone called me and said, oh, they could sign four or five players for the money they signed Juan Soto. I don't think it's that many. Not top free agent. You're not going to get Corbin Burns, Blake Snell, Christian Walker, and, oh, you could either have all these guys or Santander or Juan Soto. It's not that much. But to me, he's just too good to let go. And I'd rather have the great player than three average ones any day of the week. I need the great player. Give me the great player to go along with Judge. I know they didn't win the World Series this year. They could still figure out the bottom of that lineup and be better and be crisp. Right, they can figure out a way to be more sound defensively on the base path, all those things. That doesn't necessarily come with big-time free agents. Like, they can make smaller moves and figure out a way to get better. But, when you have stars, you need them. And he's an unbelievable player. And he's just too good to let go. You have to get him. You have to keep him. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't think there's a scenario where the Yankees are better without Juan Soto. No. And again, they sign Juan Soto and you get a third base. If you get a third baseman, you move Jazz over to second. If you get a first baseman, you keep Jazz at third and bring up a second base prospect. But I think that's one of the two positions because I don't trust Ben Rice just yet. He might have a chance in spring training, I suppose, to make a mark on this team. But I need some level of pop at one of the two corner infields. And if it's Jazz at third, I don't know if I consider that enough pop. I need a first baseman with some pop. And if I get a third baseman, then I can go. If I get a third baseman with pop, then I can go and move Gleyber. I can get rid of Gleyber. I can move Jazz to second base, and then I'll play Ben Rice at first. But I need one of those two corner infielders to have some level of guarantee, some level of home run hit power profile of a corner infielder, and have some, you know, success in this league on some level. But if I get Soto and I have Judge and Soto in the corner outfielders, I'm okay with either Dominguez in center or going out and getting an average hitter but very good defensive center fielder as my backup or starter if Dominguez doesn't show he can play defense. Like with those two corner outfielders, I can go defense first and center, right? I absolutely can. And then if I get a third baseman and I have Jazz and I have Volpe, I can go with one other light hitting. I can go defense one other spot in the infield. I got a young catcher who I'm expecting to be a guy who had Wells was bad in the postseason, and that's all we remember. I know that's the nature of how it works now, but that's a guy from, you know, late July on had a 900 OPS and was one of, if not the best hitting catcher in the sport. Like, he's got to continue to progress. Dominguez has got to be something good. Like, they're going to need to rely on their youth and farm system. That's how it works. That's how it should work. That's how that 98 Yankee team that we all want to be part of the coaching staff, it's how it worked.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.